replied O'Donnell, as the tears rushed to his eyes, and he once more embraced the little princes and then quitted them. It might be forever. Chapter the Second. The dawn of the next morning found O'Donnell on the summit of a high mountain which overlooked the city. He had stopped to take a farewell view of the place of his nativity. All along the eastern horizon there was a rich glowing light, which, as it rose, gradually melted into the pale blue of the sky, in which, just over the light, there was still visible the silver crescent of the moon. In a short time, the sun began to rise in golden glory, casting his splendid radiance over all the face of nature and illuminating the magnificent city, in the midst of which, towering in a silent grandeur, there appeared the palace where dwelt the mighty prince of that great and beautiful city. All around the brazen gates and massive walls, of which there flowed the majestic stream of the Guadima, whose banks were bordered by splendid palaces and magnificent gardens. Behind these, stretching for many a league, were fruitful plains and forests, whose shade seemed almost impenetrable to a single ray of light, while in the distance blue mountains were seen raising their heads to the sky and forming a misty girdle to the plains of Dahomey. On the whole of this grand and beautiful prospect, O'Donnell's gaze was long and fixed, but his last look was to the palace of the king, and a tear stood in his eye as he said earnestly, "May he be preserved from all evil. May good attend him, and may the chief genie spread their broad shield of protection over him all the time of his sojourn in this worrisome world." Then turning round, he began to descend the mountain. He pursued his way till the sun began to wax hot, when he stopped, and sitting down, he took out some provisions, which he had brought with him, and which consisted of a few biscuits and dates. While he was eating, a tall man came up and accosted him. O'Donnell requested him to sit beside him and offered him a biscuit. This he refused, and taking one out of a small bag which he carried, he sat down and began to talk. In the course of conversation, O'Donnell learnt that this man's name was Alexander de Lancey, that he was a native of France, and that he was engaged in the same pursuit with himself, i.e., the search of happiness. They talked for a long time, and at last agreed to travel together. Then rising, they pursued their journey. Towards nightfall they lay down in the open air and slept soundly till morning, when they again set off, and thus they continued till the third day, when about 2 hours after noon they approached an old castle, which they entered, and as they were examining it, they discovered a subterraneous passage, which they could not see the end of. "Let us follow where this passage leads us, and perhaps we may find happiness here," said O'Donnell. De Lancey agreed. The two stepped into the opening. Immediately, a great stone was rolled to the mouth of the passage, with a noise like thunder, which shut out all but a single ray of daylight. "What is that?" exclaimed O'Donnell.
"I cannot tell," replied De Lancey. "But never mind. I suppose it is only some genie's playing tricks."
"Well, it may be so," returned O'Donnell, and they proceeded on their way. After traveling for a long time, as near as they could reckon about 2 days, they perceived a silvery streak of light on the walls of the passage, something like the light of the moon. In a short time they came to the end of the passage, and leaping out of the opening which formed, they entered a new world. They were at first so bewildered by the different objects which struck their senses that they almost fainted, but at length, recovering, they had time to see everything around them. They were upon the top of a rock, which was more than 1,000 fathoms high. All beneath them was liquid mountains, tossed to and fro with horrible confusion, roaring and raging with a tremendous noise and crowned with waves of foam. All above them was a mighty firmament, in one part covered with black clouds from which darted huge and terrible sheets of lightning.